I'm here with Mara Liasson of NPR. Thank you very much for being here with us in Cincinnati today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Good. We've got an awful lot to talk about, obviously, on the political scene nationally. We're expecting some solid numbers to come out on the online healthcare registration. Obviously, there have been many problems with this website. What are you expecting to see?
Well, in terms of the numbers, they'll be official. I don't know about how solid they are. They'll be as in positive. But we expect them to be small. NPR has tracked state websites, come up with somewhere north of 50,000 for the state-run websites. We've heard various reports that there are around 50,000 on the federal website. That's healthcare.gov that's having all the trouble. Then there's the Medicaid expansion, which is doing better, probably a couple hundred thousand there. Whatever it is, it's going to be way below what the administration originally expected and not very far along to the ultimate goal of getting 7 million people, not counting Medicaid, signed up by March 31st.
Right.
Now, it is early, and of course, the history of these things with states that have done this tends to be slow in the beginning and then pick up steam towards the deadline.
There have been a lot of Republicans and a few Democrats who have suggested that maybe we should delay this until they work out the problems with this online system. Do you see any possibility of that happening?
Well, there are a number of vulnerable Democratic senators in red states who want to do that, and it seems to make a lot of political sense. Why shouldn't we extend the deadline if people can't sign up? They were given some pretty important support this week by none other than Bill Clinton, the big dog of the Democratic Party. And when he came out and said he thought that the president should change the law to make good on his promise that people who are getting their plans canceled after he told them that they wouldn't could keep the plans that they had. That was pretty significant. Then you had Dianne Feinstein, who's not only not up, she's not in any danger at all. She said that she's supporting Mary Landrieu's bill to let people continue those substandard plans through 2014. The problem is that it's unclear exactly how this would work without undermining the entire Affordable Care Act, because the Affordable Care Act was to set certain standards for health coverage and get everybody into this new system. So on a practical level, I don't know how it works. The White House has said the president is looking at fixes. There's another question. I don't think anything could pass through this Congress. Republicans don't want to fix the health care bill. They want to end the health care law.
Right.
So I think it looks like it couldn't pass. It also, there's some questions about how exactly it would work. But the fact that more and more Democrats say they need something like this shows you how much political peril the healthcare rollout has put the Democrats and the president in.
Yeah, you mentioned President Clinton and what he had to say the other day about keeping promises. That was a real body blow to President Obama, was it not?
Yeah. Look, the problems of the healthcare rollout are about credibility and competence. They're not about policy differences or ideology. They're about the basic kind of the coins of the realm for any American president. Competence, why couldn't you just get the website up and working? But credibility, keep your promises. He went out there and he said about 150 times, if you like your plan, you can keep it, period. No qualifiers. And we still don't understand why he was allowed to do that when everyone understood that the Affordable Care Act was meant to be a disruptor. It was meant to change the individual health insurance market. So I don't know why they thought that everybody could keep their plans, since also plans are constantly changing. They only have signed contracts for a year. So that's mind-boggling. But that was a real self-inflicted wound, and the president's numbers have dropped to their lowest levels ever. He's hovering around 40% approval rating, and his numbers for being honest and trustworthy, which always were pretty strong, also have taken a big hit.
And Bill Clinton just did not help that at all.
No, not at all. Now, Bill Clinton's voice just carries so much more weight than any other Democrat, and he's been problematic for Obama at different times along the way, although they certainly had a real mind meld during the campaign, and he was his great supporter and did him a tremendous amount of good. But when Bill Clinton says something like that, you know that this is a real political problem. If he thinks you have to pass a law that would only be symbolic, that he knows that there really isn't any way to keep all these plans going, it shows you how much trouble the health care plan is.
Well, I mean,
in.
Bill Clinton was sort of his explainer-in-chief at Charlotte at the convention last year.
And Obama has said he should be the secretary of splaining stuff.
Right, yeah. What about Kathleen Sebelius, Health and Human Services Secretary? She's from Cincinnati.
Right.
She was here a few weeks ago defending the plan and trying to encourage people, you know, keep trying to get on the website. Don't worry, we're going to work this out. Is her job in jeopardy?
Well, I don't think her job is in jeopardy, if only for the reason that nobody else could get confirmed. You're not going to get another Health and Human Services Secretary confirmed. So I think her job is safe for that reason. I think that she was in charge of this. It's been an unmitigated disaster, and the White House is pretty mad about it. But I don't think that there's any talk about firing her that I've heard now.
And the president, at least publicly, has been supportive of her.
Yeah. And look, he has to say, look, the buck stops with me. And the biggest thing that the administration has to do is just live up to the new promise it's made, which is that by November 30th, for the majority of users, the website is going to be functioning. But there are a lot of people who are questioning whether that can be done.
You mentioned the state exchanges. I believe there are 14 states that have their own exchanges. Kentucky, right across the river, is one of them. Everything seems to be working fine there. Is that the norm with the state?
What I understand is that there are some states that are also experiencing problems. But for the most part, in those 14 states, they seem to mostly because maybe they got a bigger head start. They were dealing with a smaller universe. Some of them, just the luck of the draw, they hired a better IT, you know, contractor. They are doing better than the federal healthcare.gov website.
Yeah, generally speaking. I mean, not
yes, generally
across
speaking.
The board, but generally speaking. Let's talk a little politics. I mean, we had last Tuesday, an election. Here in Cincinnati, we elected a mayor and a city council, but there were two big governor's races, one in New Jersey and one in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe won by a very small margin in Virginia. Governor Christie in New Jersey. Can you talk a little bit about the implications of that down the road, looking at 2016 and the presidential race?
Well, I think the best way to look at these two races is as two different models for the Republican Party as it thinks about 2014 and, more importantly, 2016. You know, usually for the past couple of cycles, these two races have gone in the same direction. In other words, they either were a harbinger of the Obama surge for 2008 or the reaction, and they set this kind of was a predictor of the Republican surge in 2010. This time there was a split verdict, as you said. Republican won in New Jersey, won big in a blue state.
Mm-hmm.
The other, Tea Party Republican, lost narrowly in a purple state. So I think the implications of that are Chris Christie is saying, look, this is the way Republicans can win. I was conservative. He doesn't differ from Ken Cuccinelli, the Virginia Republican, on many policy issues. They both are the same on abortion and same-sex marriage and tax policy. But he was inclusive. He was pragmatic. He made a point of reaching out to Hispanics, where Cuccinelli had a long history of very conservative statements on social issues, and Terry McAuliffe, who was considered an extremely weak candidate and by all rights shouldn't have won. The opposition party has always won the Virginia governor's race. So that was a real change from the historical trend. But he had a lot of money. He outspent Cuccinelli, and he made it, this race, a referendum on Cuccinelli, and it's particularly Cuccinelli's views on social issues. And in the exit polls from Virginia, and this was pretty interesting, abortion was number three as the third most important issue for voters. That's unheard of. Nobody puts abortion up there, but that's because so much money was spent on painting Cuccinelli as an far-right extreme Tea Party Republican.
I believe on All Things Considered last week, you were talking about Virginia is going to be the bellwether state.
Well, it was in 2012. The Virginia vote came closest to the national vote.
Right.
So it most closely mirrored. Actually, Ohio used
we
to be.
Used to be.
Used
we
to
like
be. Now,
that.
Yes. But now it's Virginia. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And you think that's going to hold true?
Well, I think it will. And Virginia is a purple state now. It used to be red. Now it's purple. And it's a real microcosm of the national electorate, and that's why Republicans are looking at Virginia to see if you can't win Virginia, it's going to be hard to win the country.
I've heard some conservative talk show hosts on like commercial stations talking lately about this fissure in the Republican Party, and even they say we're in a situation where it's almost impossible for us to win a national election right now, because you've got the Tea Party people over here, you've got the Libertarians, you've got the old guard, moderate Republicans. Can they fix this?
Well, I think what you're going to see in the Republican primaries for Senate in 2014 and in the Republican primary for the presidential nomination in 2016 is a real battle for the soul of the Republican Party. And you're going to see the Tea Party and the establishment trying to battle this out. And what they need is they need a figure like Bill Clinton who could unite both wings of his party. And I think Chris Christie will try to present himself that way. He kind of has a Tea Party personality with an establishment profile. But that's the trick. It has to be somebody who can appeal to both wings of the party, because not only are they badly split, and you saw this during the government shutdown, terrible arguments about strategy and tactics. They're united on the basic issues. They just can't figure out what's the best tactics. But they also, as you said, are at a tremendous structural disadvantage. Just in the Electoral College, when you look at the base of electoral votes that Democrats can count on. In 5 out of the last 6 elections, Democrats have won 242 electoral votes. 18 states plus the District of Columbia have gone Democratic in every one of those elections, 5 out of 6.
Right.
And the Republicans, I think, have a base of like 18 states adding up to something like 102 electoral votes. I mean, they are on the wrong side of the demographic trends of the country. The electorate's getting younger, browner, more diverse, and they have to do something about that.
You know, you've got people like Rand Paul across the river in Kentucky. You know, is he too extreme for the Republican base to get through a primary process?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. The Republican primary electorate has been getting more and more conservative, more and more Tea Party oriented. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, they represent that wing of the party, which is very strongly represented in the Republican primaries. However, the Republican Party, in the end, generally nominates the moderate. I mean, Bob Dole, John McCain, Mitt Romney, they just, in the end, maybe because there's so many conservatives running that they split the vote, they go for the moderate. I think that Chris Christie's big argument is going to be, I can win. There's no point winning the argument if we lose the election. And I can show you how I've cracked the code. I can flip a blue state to red. And I think the question for Rand Paul is, how could he appeal to a national audience? I think that he could do very well in some primaries.
Yeah. But
to
it's,
a the national, general,
the
yeah, general
it's the general
election is his problem. Yeah.
Because you have to win in the center.
That's right. You have to win in the center. And then so the question for Christie is, could he get through Republican primaries in the South, where there is no center at all? And the question for somebody like Rand Paul is, could he win in a general election?
We sort of have one of these situations, you know, developing in Kentucky with Mitch McConnell. You know, he has a primary opponent, Matt Bevins, whom, you know, a few months ago no one had ever heard of. And suddenly he has the support of Jim DeMint's organization.
Right, the Senate Conservatives Fund and Heritage Action.
Heritage Action, many, many Tea Party groups. And, you know, he's giving him a run. Now, you know, I can't see him knocking him off, but is he going to do enough damage to McConnell in a general election? McConnell's run, you know, some pretty close elections in his career.
Well, that's a good question. From Washington, it looks like Mitch McConnell is more worried about the general election than the primary. It doesn't seem like he's being pushed to the right by a Tea Party challenger like we've seen other senators. He still was able to come in at the end and help make a deal to avert the government shutdown and the debt ceiling, although he kept a pretty low profile this time. I think he's more worried about Alison Lundgren Grimes than he is about Matt Bevins. But I guess the big question is, does Bevins push McConnell even to farther to the right than he already is?
Yeah. And what about John Boehner? John Boehner is from up the road here in Westchester. It's not easy being John Boehner. Right,
oh, no. It's not easy being, yes. Who is it? Kermit, who sings that song, right?
Right.
It's not easy being John Boehner. He has the hardest job in the United States. However, if you look at John Boehner's goals for this last episode, he wanted to make sure the government didn't shut down, or at least didn't shut down forever. He wanted to make sure the debt ceiling was not breached. And he wanted to come out with his job intact and the possibility of getting reelected as Speaker intact. And you know what? He accomplished all three of those things. It was very painful to watch, very ugly, did a lot of damage to his party along the way. But in the end, government reopened, debt ceiling was raised, and John Boehner is in a stronger position right now with his conference. In other words, the Tea Party right has more confidence in him, and they trust him more than they did at the beginning of this whole shutdown fight.
And what implications does that have for the 2014 congressional races?
Well, I think the interesting thing about 2014 is historically the party, the opposition party, the one not in the White House, picks up a handful of seats in a second-term, midterm congressional election. And I think that's where the Republicans were headed. Very few people thought the Democrats could get the net 17-seat pickup they needed to take control of the House. The shutdown hurt them in some districts. There are very few competitive districts to start with because of redistricting and the mighty fortress of redistricting. But then Obamacare came along, and it's unclear how much of the shutdown damage the Obamacare debacle has neutralized. I think that John Boehner's in a stronger position now. I think the Republicans are in good shape to hang on to their majority and maybe even increase it by a few seats.
And just briefly, John Kasich has enraged a lot of the Tea Party Republicans and by kind of going around the legislature in Ohio to expand Medicaid. Is that going to hurt him?
Well, that's a question for you. I would ask you that question. From Washington, it seems like John Kasich is going to get reelected. But I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay. Well, we'll have a lot to say. Thank you very much, Mara. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.